Coming to you from Miami, Florida, under hurricane warning. This is Living the RV Dream with Traveling Robert, episode 25, for Friday, September 8th, 2017.
I'm riding with my RV.
My RV.
Wherever I want to be. Because I'm free in my RV.
Well, hello, happy campers, and welcome to another edition of Living the RV Dream, brought to you by Rad Power Bikes. And if you are happy camping anywhere, I hope you are by now at least by Alabama, because, you know, we are under hurricane warning here. And I'm at the epicenter of the whole thing. I'm in South Florida, Miami, and up to yesterday evening, actually even this morning, it looked like we were going to get a direct hit. I was going to be able to see that eye wall coming towards me. And my trailer would probably end up on the west coast of Florida somewhere. Luckily, I don't think that's the case, although I have taken precautions and I've made the trailer as heavy as I possibly can. And I'm going to deflate the tires a little bit. That's something that some people have recommended that I do. And it's kind of protected. It's right next to a concrete wall. And on the back, it has an iron gate, you know, that goes to my backyard. So it's not going to get the full effect of the winds. And by the way, this is as close as the podcast is ever going to get to a live event. I usually record a couple of days beforehand, but yesterday I totally forgot with all the hurricane preparations. So as I'm recording this right now in the mid-afternoon, right here on Friday, September 8th, you're probably going to hear this in about an hour or so. I don't even think I'm going to have time to do extensive show notes. But I just wanted to check in with you and tell you that I'm okay. I think I'm prepared. I have, as of the 2 p.m. Eastern time, advisory right here. We had maximum winds of 150 miles per hour on the hurricane, with gusts going up to 185, and it's moving west northwest at 13 miles per hour. And that's the thing, they expected it to turn a little earlier, but it is going really, really close to Cuba. And I really feel sorry for those folks in the central northern coast of Cuba, because they're getting the weak side of the hurricane, but still it's a category 4 hurricane. And yeah, it's the storm surge. I cannot imagine. Anyways, I have here a quick list for you guys from the Red Cross about hurricane preparations. And of course, one of the first things that you need to do if you are in a hurricane area, just listen to the National Weather Service and make sure that you're up to date and you know the latest forecast. And make sure you have supplies. Food and water per at least 3 days per person, because you're not going to be able to go out and buy supplies in the next 2 or 3 days for sure. And if you're in a house like you are, make sure you go to your backyard and you make sure you bring in anything that can be picked up by the wind, like by the wind, like, you know, flower pots or furniture or bicycles, anything like that. You're supposed to close your windows and doors with hurricane shutters. And if you don't have hurricane shutters, you know, board up with plywood. And as of this moment, I haven't been able to board up all my windows. So that's what I'm going to do right after the podcast. Although I have good windows in the front. They survived Wilma and Katrina. So I'm worried, and I was really worried this morning and last night, I am not as worried right now. But I'm still going to do it, of course. And they recommend that you turn the refrigerator and the freezer to the coldest setting and keep them closed as much as possible so that the food will last longer if the power goes out. Of course, if you have a generator, that's always good to have. Luckily, I bought that generator that I got for the RV a couple of months ago, and I have it ready. I have it gassed up. I have a 5-gallon jug, and We should be okay. I have a... Luckily, we live a block and a half away from the Florida Power and Light offices. So generally, we get power back within 24 hours, unless it is something really, really catastrophic. So I think we're going to be okay. It says that you turn off propane tanks and unplug small appliances. We don't have propane here in Miami, so we should be good. Fill your gas tank. By the way, you will not believe the gas lines all over Miami. I had a 3/4 tank, and still I went to the gas station. It wasn't that bad. It was like a 10-minute wait. But there have been shortages and gas lines pretty much in every single gas station here in Miami. And I think all over Florida. I've heard reports from Fort Lauderdale and the Palm Beaches and from the West Coast, like Fort Myers. The whole state is in a state of panic right now. Talk with members of your household and create an evacuation plan. Planning and practicing your evacuation plan minimizes confusion and fear during the event. We're not in an evacuation zone here. Contrary to popular belief that the entire city of Miami is going to flood, and that's really not true. It's Miami Beach, which is what most people think of as Miami. That's going to flood for sure, because right next to the... If you're close to a body of water or close to the Everglades, actually, that's what I noticed, which are the lower-lying areas of Miami, that usually get flooded when you get a heavy downpour. Those areas are probably gonna get flooded. But proper Miami, you know, the one that was built where there was land here, because, you know, most of Miami is stolen from the Everglades. But there's this area, you know, Little Havana West, Little Havana, some part of Coral Gables. It's a few feet above sea level. And should be okay, but it's never flooded here, but you never know, it might, but I don't think so. Besides, the houses here, they are like a couple of feet elevated from the ground. They have like a little basement where the utilities are and all that. What else? There's a long list here from the Red Cross. Let's see what supplies they suggest that we have. Water, at least 3 days supply, 1 gallon per person per day. Food, at least 3 days supply, non-perishable, easy to prepare food. Yeah, I got some beef jerky and some fruit. You know, fruit lasts a couple of days. Bread. And since I have the generator and I have 3 bags of ice, you know, some of the food is gonna last the 3 days. Nothing is gonna go bad. Flashlights. Well, I have many flashlights. Because, you know, at one point I had this couple of companies that would send me flashlights, so I would show them on my videos, on my YouTube videos. So I have like six or seven flashlights, and they're all power. The batteries are good, and it's all good. Battery powered or hand crank radio. I have a NOAA weather radio in the RV, that I'm gonna use. Extra batteries, definitely. First aid kit. Yeah, I always have a first aid kit, because if something can break in the house, you know, you can get injured, and it's always good to have at least a Band-Aid. Medication, 7 day supply, and medical items. You know, if you need like. If something for your diabetes or syringes, anything like that, you know, have it. Do not depend on having to go to the pharmacy for the next 7 days, because it might not happen. Multi-purpose tool. It's always good to have tools, and I have one of those multi-purpose tools, and I have a Swiss Army knife, and I have some stuff in there that basic stuff, pliers, hammers, that kind of thing, power drill, sanitation and personal hygiene items, copies of personal documents, medication list, pertinent medical information, proof of address, all that stuff. What I did, I put it inside Ziploc bags, so they won't even get damaged if we get water damaged in here. Cell phone with chargers, of course. Have extra power banks, because you're not gonna have power. You're not gonna have power for a couple of days. And some people in low-lying areas, in areas that are gonna get really damaged, and it looks like right now that like the marathon in the Florida Keys is going to get a direct hit. And it looks like Naples, Florida, the Fort Myers area, they're going to get the landfall over there. And so some areas could be without power for weeks. I mean, when Andrew came in 1992, some areas of Kendall and Homestead here in Florida, they were out for a long time. And that's the people in New Orleans in the lower Ninth Ward. So very important, you need to have family and emergency contact information. You know, memorize the phone numbers of your closest relatives and friends. Extra cash, definitely. There was a long line at the ATM today, but I had some cash because whenever I go to Publix, to the supermarket, I pay with a debit card and I ask for cash back. So that's something that like a habit that I have, and it works. Emergency blanket. Well, it doesn't get cold here that much, but yeah, it's good to have, I guess. Map of the area. Baby supplies, bottles, formula, baby food, diapers for your pets. Have your pets' supplies also for 3 days at least, you know, collar, leash, ID, food, carrier, bowl. They recommend that you have tool supplies for securing your home, extra set of car keys and house keys, extra clothing, rain gear. You know, I don't have rain gear. I have an umbrella, but that's about it. Insect repellent and sunscreen. I don't know why you would need sunscreen during a hurricane, but I guess after, you know, if you are fixing up your home, you're gonna need it. Camera for photos of damage. Yes, definitely for the insurance, which are not as responsive as they were during Andrew, probably. But you need all that. Okay, what to do after a hurricane? Continue listening to NOAA Weather Radio or the local news for the latest updates. Stay alert for extended rainfall and subsequent flooding, even if the hurricane or the tropical storm has ended. Yeah, that's what happened during Katrina. Nothing major happened during the hurricane, but then that levee broke and you know what happened to New Orleans. And that was after the hurricane. If you evacuated, return home only when officials say it is safe. And that happens a lot to the people in Miami Beach. Right after the storm, they want to go back, and sometimes there are problems there. You know how it is. Drive only if necessary and avoid flooded roads and washed out bridges. Keep away from loose or dangling power lines and report them immediately to the power company. Yeah, power lines are very, very dangerous because they may be live wires still there. Stay out of any buildings that have water around it. Inspect your home for damage. Take pictures of damage, both the building and its contents, for insurance purposes. Use flashlights in the dark. Do not use candles. I guess that's new. We used to use candles all the time. But I guess, I know it's a fire hazard, but okay, flashlights. There you go. Avoid drinking or preparing food with tap water until you're sure it's not contaminated. And that's very true during the storm and right after, because sometimes the water is not safe to drink. But you could boil it. And there are filters and some chemicals that, you know, for hiking, so you can use other sources of water. So I mean, it doesn't say it here in the Red Cross document, but I've heard it's good to have. You know, there are some filters that you could get, like mud and convert it into water pretty much. Check refrigerated food for spoilage. If in doubt, throw it out. Wear protective clothing and be cautious when cleaning up to avoid injury. Watch animals closely and keep them under direct control, and use telephone only for emergency calls. And that's true. That was true, especially in the past, because the lines would get, overloaded, and you couldn't communicate. Okay, let me tell you real quick about our sponsor, Rad Power Bikes. It's an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes. And because they sell directly to you, the consumer, you won't see that large retail markup that would be present if you were buying from a third party or a dealer, ensuring you're always getting a performance e-bike at a fraction of the cost. So visit radpowerbikes.com or call 1-800-939-0310 to learn more about their models or to place an order. And, you know, they're offering free shipping. They've been offering free shipping on all four models. So that's great. Also, let me tell you about... oh, gosh. I'm all over the place today, am I not? Reno Viola Radio. And we are being rebroadcasted, syndicated on Reno Viola. So if you're into hunting, fishing, boating, the rest of the great outdoors, visit, download the free Reno Viola Outdoors Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online. And... I thank them very much also for rebroadcasting our feed here. Well, the last time we spoke, you remember I was near Charleston, South Carolina, and you may ask, what happened to you? You are back in Miami so quickly. And, you know, I woke up the next day and all of a sudden, the love bugs were in town. It was all over the place, and I was kind of homesick. And I said, you know what? And the GPS lies, of course. It tells me, oh, Miami, you are 8 hours away from Miami. And you know that's very much bullcrap. As I learned, it took me 12 hours to make it to Miami. I drove almost straight through, you know, taking a couple of breaks to eat, to go to the bathroom and all that, but that was about it. So now I know that if the GPS tells you an ETA and it's like 2 hours, it's going to be 3 hours. You know, it's going to be 50% more than what the GPS says first, because you're human. You have to stop every 2 hours, 3 hours at the most. You have to stop and take a break and go to the bathroom. You have to eat, drink water, and you have to put gas, of course. And then also because when you're towing a trailer, you know, you cannot be going 80 miles per hour like the rest of the people. You have to go 60, 65, especially in my case, you know, that my tow vehicle is not the most powerful vehicle in the world. But I did that quick trip back to Miami. And now I have to edit all that video. By the way, if you want to see me live, I'm going to do a live video on YouTube probably this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right after I finish uploading the podcast. I have to go to my mom's, you know, check on her, bring some stuff here, some more supplies. And then I'm going to go live as I usually do on Fridays at 6 p.m. Although this time I am going to I usually call it the happy hour because it is Friday, 6 p.m. Why not? But today is not as happy because we are expecting this hurricane. So I'm just going to call it Tracking Irma. And that should be it. Just check it out at youtube.com/travelingrobert. That's my YouTube page. Or you can also go to rvvlog.com. It goes to the same place. You probably saw the video yesterday, but we recently celebrated our third RVversary. 3 years since we bought our travel trailer on September 5th. 2014, was it? Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun. Sometimes it flies even if you're not having fun, but we've been having so much fun with this trailer. And we hope that it survives the hurricane so we can have many, many, many more trips with it. So I put a video on my YouTube channel, and the original idea was to document the whole 3 years, you know, do a little bit of each trip, so you saw our progression and all that. But I only got halfway through it, to be honest about it, because it was going to be too long. It was going to be like an hour long video if I kept it up. So you can check that out too, there on the YouTube channel. As you can probably tell, I didn't have much planned for this episode because I've been busy watching the news with all this hurricane mania that happens here in Miami every time the wind starts to blow. And this is going to be pretty catastrophic, guys. The thing is, Andrew, which was like very, very bad. Andrew just crossed east to west, you know, a very, maybe a 10-mile wide populated area. And yeah, it destroyed it. But this one is going to go up the spine of Florida. So pretty much every city in Florida is going to feel some kind of effect from this hurricane. And then it's going to go up to Georgia as a Category 1 or a tropical storm. And those people haven't probably never seen a hurricane like in the panhandle of Florida and northern Florida. It doesn't happen as often as it happens here. Although, you would think it happens very often. But the last really, really bad hurricane we had here was 2005. That's 12 years ago. And Andrew was 13 years earlier. So and Wilma and Katrina in 2005 weren't as bad for us, but they were bad. There was a lot of destruction, but not catastrophic like Andrew. So we get an Andrew or an Irma every 25 years on average. We were overdue. This was bound to happen. And then, yeah, statistically speaking, of course, these things are not programmed. You know, I'm going to end today's podcast with some music. And I don't know if I've played for you my most recent song that I did with my friend Chuchi, Jesus Jorge. I probably did, but I'm going to play it again because I really like it. It's like a smooth jazz piece, and he plays the trumpet and the flugelhorn. Very nice. Of course, if you want to get in touch with me, and I love to hear from you guys, robert@travelingrobert.com. Next week, assuming I have power, I'm going to have a much more prepared podcast. Of course, you can also follow me on all the social media, Traveling Robert. And if you really, really, really like what I do and you find value in it, check out patreon.com/travelingrobert so you can support the show. Until the next time, thank you for listening. The song of the week, the tune of the week is called Ocean Breeze. Until next time, thank you so much for listening and see you on the road.